Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind-the-scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Be bold. Why not? Season 3. Make your mark, lead with pride.
Arm yourself with courage. Stand out and rise above.
Be the leader that you can be.
Lead others with passion.
Join us as we chat with MJ. Be part of the conversation. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Central. Tuesday, 8 a.m. Philippines.
Ready for some real talk? Pink Table Talk is all about empowerment, entrepreneurship, and the vibrant stories that make the world go round. Don't miss out on the gems shared in this heart-to-heart session with Dr. Carly D. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Attention, food lovers. Get ready for a brand new culinary adventure with the Commissary Kitchen.
Join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. in the Philippines for a live show that brings the best of the kitchen straight to your screen.
Presented by Lon Live Stream and Podcast and produced by Lon Media Network, we'll explore delicious recipes, share expert cooking tips, and bring you closer to the world of gourmet cuisine. The Commissary Kitchen, where every meal is an experience. See you there. Tune into Legal Treats with attorney Eileen Ligot Dizon every Friday at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Get your weekly dose of legal insights about laws and legal matters, especially on divorce, estate planning, probate, and settling a deceased estate.
Engage in discussions by posting your questions, comments, greetings, or shoutouts.
See you every Friday at 8 p.m. Central Time. That would be Saturday at 9 a.m. Philippines. Don't miss out.
In a world cluttered with information, where truth is power, Law & Weekly News stands apart.
We delve deeper, uncover facts, and bring stories to light. From political showdowns and economic triumphs to the pulse of the street and the heart of the community.
We capture the moments that define us, stories that challenge, inspire, and transform.
Tune in live Sundays, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Are you ready for engaging conversations on education, teaching strategies, trends in the classroom?
Tune in to Teacher Talk, Live Chikahan, with your hosts, Teacher Cora and Dr. Claire.
In each episode, we'll dive into meaningful discussions, share insights, and connect with fellow educators.
Don't miss out on the fun and camaraderie. Grab your coffee and join us for some lively Chikahan. Every Saturday, 9 a.m. Central Time. 10 p.m. Philippines.
Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawn Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawn Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawn Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Good evening, everybody, and you're watching Lawin Media Network Live. Welcome to Pink Table Talk, and tonight is our seventh episode, and I'm your host, Dr. Carly D. I am a doctorally prepared nurse, educator, mentor, advocate, mother, and a domestic violence survivor. So tonight we have another wonderful episode for you all. With another wonderful guest and another great discussion that we will be having. As you can see, I'm now back to brunette. I'm always changing my hair. I did blonde for about 2 months. I was loving the blonde. I have to say blondes do have more fun, but it's time to change it up. I always love to change my hairstyle. Probably in a couple of weeks, I'll have something else. So tonight, I'm just really happy to bring to you another wonderful and authentic speaker. Like I said, this show is about bringing you guys true life heroes and people who truly inspire. So tonight we have Ebony Davis Martin, and she has such a phenomenal background. I couldn't remember all of it, so I am going to just read it off to you guys. So forgive me for reading, but she is also known as Ebonair. She's a wife, mother, and she has three adult children, aged 23, 24, and 29. Her youngest son is on the autism spectrum, and he has difficulty in managing several co-diagnoses. Ebonair is also an author whose first self-published book, Journey to the Freedom Within You, speaks to the challenges of raising an autistic child. She is currently also working on her second book, which serves as the blueprint for rebuilding emotional resilience and soul strength to defeat external factors that occur in our everyday lives. Understanding that we can't allow what's happening around us to control our thought processes or way of being, Ebonair is also the CEO and founder of the Soul Flow Institute and Global University, whose vision is to transform overwhelm into inner peace of mind. Led by Ebony Davis Martin, she is a motivationalist, an intuitive life coach. Her goal is to help autism moms develop resilience, find inner peace, and thrive in the face of challenges. This transformative organization is dedicated to empowering parents navigating the journey as primary caregivers, particularly for mothers of autistic children. Through holistic healing approach, she comes up with resources specifically designed for autism moms to help bridge the gap in services and resources for parents to become better equipped to manage stress, overwhelm, and to become their best selves. She has also served as facilitator and guide for autism moms, also juggling co-parents who are and or relatives that are domineering and family members who demonstrate narcissistic characteristics. By expressing opinions and judgments often insensitively miscommunicated as love, care, or concern. She is not a licensed medical professional and does not claim to diagnose anybody. However, she speaks from her personal experiences, her spiritual gifts, and her intuitive ability, the shared experiences of others. So I am so proud to have joined us here Ebony Davis Martin as our guest, and we welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Carly. I'm so glad that you had me on here. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I've been thinking about you being on my show ever since I met you. You're just such a phenomenal woman. You're so empowering and you're so knowledgeable, especially for mothers of children on the autism spectrum. And for my audience, my oldest daughter has autism. And so being part of Ebonair's groups has helped me to build resilience, find resources and encouragement for raising a child on the autism spectrum. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you. That's wonderful. I appreciate everything you said. Thank you.
So can you tell our audience just a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and where you're currently residing?
Okay, yes. So as you mentioned in my bio, I am a wife and mom. I have three adult children. My youngest, who is diagnosed with autism, is 23. So I've been doing this a little while now. And I am currently located in Central Florida. That's why I picked the background to kind of match my I've been doing this a little bit, 23 years.
Wow, that's a very long time. So that's why I definitely highly respect your opinion and your lived experience, because you've been doing this for a while. So you're kind of a veteran.
Every day is different still, though.
Every day I'm hustling. Yeah. Yes. So that's so wonderful. So you started something known as the Soul Flow University. Can you speak to our audience about what that is?
Yes. So it's the Soul Flow Global Institute and YOU University. And I say it like that because it's geared for the autism mom. So the YOU, being a mom of a child with autism, we don't really have time to focus on ourselves. So this is to bring attention back to ourselves to the best that we can with our busy schedules. And basically it's a variety of resilience resources for the mom. And I started it because, way back when my son received the diagnosis, and even still, there's plenty of services for our children, plenty of support groups, and different things like that, with all the plethora of services. But there was really nothing to help me as the mom, We have to be everything.
Yes.
And we need to be focused on our mental well-being, making sure we're getting our rest, making sure we're putting ourselves on our own list every day, even if for 5 minutes a day. So that's where I founded the SoulFlow Institute and Global YO University. Our mission is greater resilience to manage the challenges of autism life. And our vision is from surviving to thriving, transforming overwhelm into inner peace of mind.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's so needed. I feel that oftentimes mothers in general are overwhelmed. Single moms are overwhelmed. But when you combine that as a single mom within children on the autism spectrum, it's just almost immeasurable, the amount of stress and challenges that they face daily. So your perspective and your insight is well needed.
Thank you. That's exactly why I did it. And basically, it's not like a traditional school or anything like that. I offer life coaching services. I have a podcast of my own, The Soul Flow Experience. I have my book, audio book. And so it's just different things to be a resource for parents. And the thing about it is, we don't have much time. Our days are so jam-packed with everything. So the one thing I do, like my podcasts are 15 minutes or less. Some of them are just 30 seconds, 2 minutes, just that encouragement, just that nugget to give you, keep you going. You know, my audio book is less than an hour listen, and the paperback version is only like 45 pages. So everything that I do, I just try to keep it, you know, just nuggets and quick and short and simple so that moms can get renewed from the inside out.
Yes. And I have to say, you know, I came to you at a time where I was feeling overwhelmed, dealing with the challenges, you know, with my daughter, and you just helped kind of lift the weight off my shoulder. You know, it was like I was feeling so like isolated and alone in my experience. And I'm like, oh, there's got to be something wrong with me. Why am I feeling this way? And then I listened to you and some of the other people in our support group, and it was like, oh, okay, this is not just me. You know, we all feel the same and we all are dealing with the same challenges. And it was almost like your story is mine. Her story was mine, you know, and it was all kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm dealing with that, too. Oh, yeah, my kid tries to, you know, elope all the time or, you know, whatever the issue was. And, you know, it was just so comforting and encouraging. You know, I feel like as mothers, we always feel like we're not doing a good job. We're constantly beating ourselves up. So hearing your perspective and other people's experiences, it was just exactly what I needed at that time. And it has uplifted me and helped me to feel like a stronger parent.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. That's definitely the intention and the purpose, to let everyone know that you're not alone.
Yes, thank you. And so can you talk to us about your book and what it's about and what a person would get out of reading that book?
Yes. So as I mentioned, you know, everything that I do is kind of catered to the busy autism mom schedule, but really it's for anyone, you know, like you mentioned, the single mom, mom of any child, especially a special need child, regardless of what that diagnosis is. But my first book is pretty much just my story on, you know, some of the challenges that I've had to deal with autism, being married, divorcing, trying to take care of a child, not having a lot of finances to do so, and how I kind of did a search within to get to that place of resilience. We're all resilient.
Yes.
Especially as autism moms, I mean, to do what we do on an everyday basis. But in the book, I kind of outline how to build upon that, how I did it and how others can do it as well, because it's that inner soul strength that gets us through the day. And we need to know that we're not alone, that others are doing it, have done it, and that you can do it, too.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And where can our audience members find your book?
It is on Amazon. You can search my name, Ebony Davis Martin, or you can search the title of the book, Journey to the Freedom Within You. It's also an audio book on Audible. And like I said, it's less than an hour listen, and it's in my own voice. I have learned in this process to kind of realize my gifts and my abilities. People compliment me on different things, and that's kind of in the book too, that we don't recognize our own gifts and talents and abilities.
Yes.
So I do recognize that I have a really great speaking voice. So the audiobook is in my own voice.
Yes. And I must say, you do have a really nice speaking voice. That's one of the reasons your group kind of caught my attention. I was like, oh, this lady has such a soothing voice, very direct, very straightforward. I was like, okay, I like this.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so you guys in the audience, if you are a parent of a child with autism, definitely check out Ebony's book. And you can get that on Amazon. And then you can also hear it in her wonderful, soothing voice. I'm going to read a comment from our audience, and then we're going to go on a commercial break. We have a comment from MJ Versosa. She says, hello, Dr. Carly and Ebony. Great topic. Thank you, MJ, and thank you for watching us. Right now, we're going to go ahead and have our first commercial break of the evening. Stay tuned, everybody.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind-the-scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Welcome back to Pink Table Talk. Tonight, we're here with Ebony Davis Martin, and we're talking about autism and the narcissism connection. For those of you watching live, thank you for joining us tonight, either through Lawin Media Network's YouTube page or Facebook Live. The show is produced by Lawin Media Network, and it is also available on Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, and over 15 different podcast platforms. So if you can't catch us live, you can definitely catch a recording of the show later on this evening. So tonight we're talking with Ebony Davis Martin. So my next question for you, Ebony, is can you tell the audience what is autism and how is it diagnosed?
So for most people in autism, there's been a rise in recent years.
Yes.
And it can look different. There's some similarities, but it can look different among children. Yeah. A lot of adults are getting diagnosed in recent years, too. But generally, you know, there'll be some social challenges where, you know, children don't seem to kind of fit in with their peer group. And that's challenging for a young person. There can be it's called a spectrum for a reason, the autism spectrum disorder, because it can range. You can have someone who is nonverbal. You can have someone who speaks academically. People are at different parts of the spectrum. Some people are mainstream in a typical classroom. Some people are in a special classroom with a smaller ratio to have their needs met. And there's been some controversy as far as diagnoses. I've been hearing a lot of people have challenges now, yes. Even with the increase in diagnoses, that they're still having difficulty. Usually it's a developmental pediatrician or a psychiatrist who would provide a diagnosis. The school system, sometimes their school psychologist will offer an evaluation, and they can have a category of where they would receive needs. That's not necessarily the same as an actual diagnosis. It's just a category for education. So there are some options. I would suggest anyone looking to get diagnosed to find a psychiatrist and also get that evaluation through your local school district.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for that information. I think a lot of parents, especially, they may notice, you know, some behavioral problems in their child, but they're just not sure how to go about getting that diagnosis. I know for me, I saw the signs early on, prior to my daughter becoming two. But it took about 2 years after that to actually finally get her diagnosed. And I just kept pushing and, you know, going to the doctors and documenting all the signs, the behaviors, everything that I was noticing. And it actually was her GI doctor who suggested she go to see the developmental neuropsychologist. Yes. So can you talk to our audience about how people on the autism spectrum often have co-diagnoses?
Yes, that seems to be common. And again, I'm not a medical professional. I don't diagnose anyone. I'm not a clinician. But oftentimes, just in my own son's situation, that's the case. A lot of people that I meet, that's usually the case. It can be autism with, you know, ADHD or autism and, you know, depression. It can be a lot of different things. So the best thing that you can do for your child is seek the diagnosis so that you can receive services for them as early as possible.
Yes, yes, I suggest that as well. From my own experience, I was able to, you know, she was able to be diagnosed early. We intervened early, and she is progressing really well now and actually doing really well in school. And so I'm just really happy that she's, you know, able to live, a typical childhood. So that's making me very happy now today. Thank you. My next question for you is, so a few weeks ago on episode 4, we had Coach D. She explained to us what narcissism is, narcissistic personality, and what the narcissistic abuse cycle is. From your experiences, can you tell us what is the narcissism and autism connection?
Yes, absolutely. So what I found in my own personal experience, as well as the experience of others that I've had conversations with, there is a connection. I actually Googled some research as well. There's not a lot of research on it yet because it's kind of fairly new that in some family dynamics, when you have a child diagnosed with autism, you have a parent or a co-parent who is exhibiting narcissistic characteristics. Obviously, the proper terminology, narcissistic personality disorder, like you mentioned, Coach D was phenomenal on those explanations. Yes. And so I found that to be a commonality. And it had me thinking why. It didn't quite make sense. So when I look back at my own story, I didn't know about narcissism way back, you know, some 20 years ago. I just know that my personal relationship it wasn't healthy.
Yes.
So, you know, there was a lot of different things that was going on and there were some red flags. And as the years progressed and, you know, research and conversations with people, I noticed that because my take on it is as parents of autistic children, we have so much compassion, so much patience, not to say no one else does, but the patience you need to raise a child on the spectrum far exceeds so much. You know, even though it's frustrating, we have that patience and that compassion. And so it seems as though, and Coach D also mentioned the term empaths.
Yes.
So I believe that many of us who are autism moms are empaths and we have that sensitive nature. And that person who is narcissistic or has those characteristics are drawn to our compassion and our patience and the love that we have for humanity. And then that combination seems to produce many families having a child diagnosed with autism.
Wow, that's really phenomenal. Wow. And, you know, it's so interesting because I've been dealing with, family and a co-parent who has those narcissistic traits. And when I saw your group discussing the narcissism autism connection, I said, wait a second here. I said, I have a daughter who is on the autism spectrum. I'm dealing with people who have narcissism and, you know, in my family and co-parenting. And I said, wow, what are the odds, you know? And it just all made a lot of sense. You know, once I started hearing how you explain things and we started talking about our experiences, like I said, it was like my story is your story or the next person's story was my story. And I'm like, wow, we're all dealing with like the same thing. It's like you can literally change a few things, but our story is generally the same.
Right. And that's the thing, too. It's not always that co-parent. Oftentimes it's family members as well.
Yes.
And we think people are coming in love and care and concern, not to say that they're not. Of course, you know, our family loves us. But sometimes when it gets to be overwhelming and domineering, then that's a red flag. You know, our loved ones can love us and offer suggestions. But if we ever find ourselves in a situation where someone is making us feel unworthy or incapable of living our lives and making our decision for our children, that's a red flag.
Yes. And I think it especially speaks to mothers or parents in general of children with disabilities, not just even autism, but what I've seen in my experiences working in healthcare, there's a lot of denial, you know, of these diagnoses. Can you tell us what your experience has been with dealing with those family members and denial of these diagnoses?
That I find to be common and unfortunately in communities of color.
Yes.
There's a mental health stigma overall, especially in different cultural communities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people will kind of say, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with that child or this or that. And it's not to say that there's something wrong. It's saying that this child may need a little more assistance in this area or that area. It's all about our perspective. We can't have that negative perspective. We can't carry the generational traditions of thinking this and the conspiracy theories and all of those things. It's about your child. It's about your mental well-being. And we have to do the best that we can do to get them the services that they need.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I lost your question in there.
No, that's exactly what I was referring to is, you know, I've seen it also as a healthcare practitioner. I've seen a lot of families deny, you know, these children have any mental health issue. And, you know, I know autism is a neurodevelopmental issue, but it fits along that neurodiversity, you know, and people with mental health issues are also on that neurodiverse spectrum. But it is something I've seen in our community. This denial, you know, oh, that's not an issue. They just need to, you know, do this and they'll get over it. Mm-hmm. So those comments can be harmful and they can be hurtful also. Another thing I noticed is, as a parent with a child on the spectrum, not having that support or that belief in the diagnosis can add to that burden and stress for that parent. What is your thoughts on that?
It absolutely can, because everyone wants to have someone that can kind of pat them on the shoulder a little bit and say, hey, you're doing a good job. And when you don't receive that as a mom, even though you know what you do day in and day out, when you don't have that from your family, from your loved ones, it's taxing. It's mentally taxing to not have that support.
Yes.
And that's part of this whole toxic situation. It's not always, it's often the partner, the co-parent, the former partner, but many times it's the stress of the loved ones.
Yes.
And in order to be supportive, the loved ones, it's difficult, the dynamic all around, but the loved ones kind of have to pull back. And like I mentioned before, get out of those traditions of this and that and point the finger with your words. That's not being supportive. You have to have conversations, understand what that person is going through to the best of your ability, because if you don't have a child with autism, you really don't fully know what it's like.
Yes.
You know, it's nothing the parent has done wrong. Lots of times people point the finger and think it's the parent's fault.
Yes.
Oh, if you just spank that child, they'll be okay.
Yes.
No, that's not, you know, the way to handle this.
Yes, that is so true. That's so true. We're going to take another commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on autism and narcissism connection. So everybody stay tuned.
Thank you. In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
In a world cluttered with information, where truth is power, Law & Weekly News stands apart.
We delve deeper, uncover facts, and bring stories to light. From political showdowns and economic triumphs to the pulse of the street and the heart of the community.
We capture the moments that define us, stories that challenge, inspire, and transform.
Tune in live Sundays 8 a.m. Central Standard Time and Sundays 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome back to Pink Table Talk. We have our phenomenal guest, Ebony Davis Martin, here with us today. And we're going to continue our discussion on autism and the narcissism connection. So Ebony, before our break, you said something that was very interesting. You said that some family members may talk to parents of children with autism saying, oh, you need to spank them, they're bad. Can you talk to our audience about how oftentimes children with autism, mainly because they present with behavioral problems, are often thought to be bad children or problem children?
Okay, I'll do so by giving you an example, because for people who may not know, it's not that the child is being bad. They just have a lot of different challenges that they can't, they're not able to self-regulate.
Uh-huh.
So I have a story, an example in my book. And matter of fact, I'm going to share a different story and I may share that one later.
Okay.
So my son, he was about maybe 6 years old and we were at my oldest son's eighth grade graduation moving up day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was hot. It was long.
Uh-huh.
And there was this woman next to me with her child who's about maybe 2 years old. And that child was behaving wonderfully. And here's my six-year-old who is just, you know, starting to get agitated and have kind of behaviors and doing different things. And I took him out and I took him outside and gave him a breath of fresh air and out of that surrounding. And so imagine if you, as an individual, if you're claustrophobic, and someone makes you stay in a room and dark.
Wow.
And say, you have to stay here for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
Are you a bad person for being claustrophobic?
Wow.
So there's different things that people don't understand. It's not about behavior. It's not about a lack of discipline. It's about the challenges that they struggle with and the self-regulation and understanding their needs and meeting their needs.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for explaining that. I feel that often that I've heard that myself. Just through my experiences in healthcare and also working in school clinics, often we would see these problem children or, you know, these bad kids. But more often than not, they were either on the spectrum or ADHD. Oftentimes, maybe they were undiagnosed, going back to that cultural denial, you know, parents not really seeking diagnosis or treatment. So these children just being labeled as bad and, you know, not really getting the care or treatment or therapies that they needed. So I think that it's important that people do understand that the children on the spectrum, they're not always nonverbal, but sometimes their presentation is behavioral. So my next question for you, Ebony, is it common for parents of children on the autism spectrum to also have autism themselves?
Great question. I've heard that many times, And I've heard other parents feel that way. And there's research out there, you know, feel free to Google and find the research. But I do find that to be a commonality as well. I will say is that you have to take what's going to work for you and use it, because there's so many naysayers out there. I remember years ago, I spoke with my son's provider, and I said, you know, I feel that I have some of these characteristics, and I'm wondering, you know, maybe am I on the spectrum?
Yes, yes.
The response from this medical professional, and not everyone is this way. There's, you know, I'm not against medical professionals at all. It was this particular one. And his response was, just by you asking that question, you're not on the spectrum. Because if you were on the spectrum, you would not be aware enough to ask that question.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so, but yes, I do find that to be a common occurrence. And, you know, it goes overlooked because we present in the world as, you know, maybe you can hold a job, or maybe you can do this, you can do that. And people have stereotypes that people with any diagnosis can't work or can't drive a car,
yes,
can't do this or that. And so because of those stereotypes, people and stigma, people think that, well, no, you can't possibly be, but you might very well be. So
yes,
it's a matter of what's the need. Don't necessarily follow the diagnosis for an adult, because it is difficult to get a diagnosis. And sure, go that route if that's what's going to be helpful. But I suggest look at the needs. What needs are there and how can you meet those needs?
Wow. Wow. That's something. You know, what I've been seeing a trend in lately is a lot of adults being diagnosed with autism and ADHD. So I think we have maybe more resources now. I think our society is more aware now of the symptoms. And I think people are seeking diagnoses because they are aware of their challenges, especially socially or with attention and getting work done. And, you know, they realize they're having these challenges. Can you talk to us about what autism masking is, and how, and which is why a lot of these adults have kind of gone under the radar, and people haven't noticed they have autism?
Yes. So I would say a lot of time, and we find historically that this has occurred in different dynamics, you know, with racial backgrounds of people blending and crossing over and all those different things. So yeah, in the autism community, lots of times, especially as adults, we've learned how to adapt. We've learned how to do what needs to be done, you know, to get through a situation. So I could be sitting here having this interview with you and you not realize that I'm tense and tight all through, and it's difficult, and I'm socially, the anxiety level is beyond what I could ever measure or think of, you know, and so the person will, you know, kind of blend into a quote unquote normality of how they appear and act and present themselves, because they're holding it together just so they can fit into society.
Wow.
My son does that. And it's very, I can see the difficulty, the struggle when he does that. At home, behavior is all over the place, but at home is safe.
Yes.
So he can be himself and be safe at home. But when he goes out, in certain instances, I can tell he's doing everything he can to keep it together, to appear normal, because that's what society says. You have to be normal. Everyone has to be the same.
Yes. Wow. That's something else. Wow. Yes. And that is the reason why so many do go undiagnosed for so long, is because they're masking, they're fitting in, they are mirroring, you know, they're mirroring behavior, which is also another autistic trait. You know, yeah. They mirror, and, you know, the echolalia. So, okay, this person is talking like this, I will talk like this too. They shake hands, they greet people when they're walking in, I'm going to do the same thing. So they learn to kind of adapt and to blend in. So that's why it's often very hard for them to get that diagnosis. So my next question for you will be, what are some resources that people, adults who are seeking a diagnosis, can look out and reach out to?
My suggestion, my main suggestion, is therapy. To develop skills and tools and ways to cope with the stress of it.
Yes.
Obviously, I have the resources that I offer, and you have all my information. We'll talk about that at the end. But therapy, I've been through therapy myself. I love therapy. I've done a lot of self-work, but therapy will help to build those tools, to add tools to your toolkit, so that you can function. And then if there's a need for other things, other services or whatever have you, that therapist can guide you, you know, through that process.
Oh, that's really great. That's a wonderful information and advice for our audience. And my second question for you on top of that would be, is autism usually related to social anxiety, or what is the difference? Because some people are just socially anxious. So when should they be concerned, though, that the social anxiety is autism?
I would say, and again, I'm not a medical professional, but the social anxiety, we all have levels of social anxiety. You know, we before we come on the live, before we go to work, before we, you know, we're nervous fixing this and fixing that. So there's levels. Everyone has some bit of social anxiety. But when something just seems a little bit different, whether it's within yourself or within your child, if it's so overwhelming to interact with social groups or work environments, I'm not saying fit in. I'm saying to interact. Because we don't want to fit in, that's not healthy. But when you find yourself struggling to a great degree of trying to interact with your peer groups, interacting your work professional space, your child interacting in school. I had one of my children was a straight A student, and I got services for that child. And I had a meeting at the school, and they were like, well, Ebony, your child is getting A's. You don't see on the other side of that at home how difficult it is for my child to get that A. It should not be such a struggle. And if it is, there's so many supports, so many services, so many options.
Wow. Thank you for that. I think that's really important for our audience to know. You know, that there is a difference, because I feel a lot of people may think, oh, I'm anxious in social settings. Does this mean I'm on the spectrum? You know, so I think that was very good. And I would also, I would suggest they go seek a good therapist out so that they can officially get diagnosed, whether it's generalized anxiety or maybe they are on the spectrum at some point, at some area in that spectrum. But that's all very good advice. And I think we are becoming more self-aware of these things in our society. So that's great. We're going to go on our last commercial break for the evening, and stay tuned as we wrap up this wonderful conversation with Ebony. Welcome back to Pink Table Talk. You're watching us live on Lawin Media Network, either through our YouTube channel or our Facebook Live page. Be sure to watch the show live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. CST or 8 p.m. on the Eastern Coast, so that way you can ask your questions to our phenomenal speakers. Tonight, we have the wonderful Ebony Davis Martin, who is here talking to us about the narcissism and autism connection. So, Ebony, for our moms out there who are struggling with a child who is on the autism spectrum, what are some resources that you can offer to them as they're struggling? They're pulling their hair out, they're tired, they're burnt out. What is some helpful resources that you can suggest for them?
I would first say to seek that diagnosis, seek that evaluation if you haven't done so. That's going to be instrumental in getting the services for your child. It's not, don't look at it as a label and a bad thing. Just like if you have high blood pressure and that doctor needs to put in that code in order to give you that medication. That's what a diagnosis would do. It's the gateway, it's the opening for you to receive services for your child. And I'd also say to make sure you're checking on your own mental well-being. Find some people of like similar experiences. It may not be someone in your family. It may not be someone in your friend group. I've had good close friends that they don't share the experience, so they can't be supportive as much as they would like to. We live in the age of the internet, so there's support groups. There's many type of ways to find people who are experiencing what you're experiencing, because we have to pour into ourselves. Even if we just take a little bit of time a day, when you're in the restroom, I used to take that time and I used to explain it to my children. Unless you're an emergency, don't knock on that door for 5 minutes. And then I'd have to explain what an emergency is.
Oh, man, yes.
Nobody's breaking in. You know? So you take that time so that you can rejuvenate your mind. And that's what the type of services I offer, to help people have that inner peace of mind, because we can't change the external factors that are going on in our life. But how we look at them, how we perceive them, that's going to be the difference. And I'm sure any good therapist will say the same. You know, we can't change other people. We can't necessarily remove other people from our lives.
Yes.
But we can realize how to handle that situation. You know, boundaries, setting boundaries, saying no. It's a whole thing. That no is a complete sentence. So a situation where you just are pulling your hair out and people are pulling and tugging every which way, it's okay to say no. You have to be your best you, rested, rejuvenated, so that you can take care of your child. So services for your child, evaluation, therapist, my program, Inner Peace of Mind, resilience resources, and remembering to take a moment for yourself.
Yes. Oh, wow. Those are all wonderful, wonderful advice and great tips. You know, I think I learned it from you about the emergency thing. Yes, because I was talking to you one time. I was like, oh, they just keep interrupting. I'm trying to sit down. I'm trying to have a little break. I want a little bit of peace. And it's just nonstop about all types of little things, little stuff. And you were like, well, you have to set boundaries. You know, if it's not an emergency, then it can wait. And I was like, what? Wait, you mean I can do that?
Set a timer if you need to. If they need tools to help, set a timer and say, when this timer goes off, then you can come let me know what you wanted to say. You know?
Yes. I mean, that was such a great help for me. It took a while, though, for me to actually get it in place. And at first, the kids were like, what's an emergency? I said, if you're bleeding, somebody is hurt, you know, there's a fire, you know, something like that, or you're beating someone up, something. I said, but other than that, it could wait until I'm, you know, finishing the bathroom, or if I'm watching something, you know, I had to instill that. It took a while, but now they're starting to kind of get it.
Good, good.
And it's been peaceful for me because now I can actually kind of woo-sah. And I sit and I can, you know, have my little show that I like to watch or, you know, even my 5 minutes in the bathroom, you know.
Right, right.
Every time I went to the bathroom, no, never, you know, failed. Here they are with something. And they get fed, cleaned, entertained, you know, everything.
Yeah, but you weren't there. So that's what was missing.
And it's like they have a sixth sense. Mommy must be resting. She's got to be sleeping. Yeah. Something is wrong here. She is too quiet. She's comfortable. We got to go interrupt. So, you know, and it's helpful because, you know, when you are doing so much and you're giving of yourself so much every day, as we do, as any mom does, but especially for mothers of children with special needs and those on the autism spectrum, we give and pour out so much of ourselves on a daily basis. There's all the appointments, all the therapies, all of the rules for the home. A lot of people think the therapy is the treatment. No, the therapy teaches us what we need to do every day. You know, I had these visual stories and lists and pictures and diagrams all around the house because it was like, okay, this is our bedtime routine. This is our nighttime cleaning routine. This is morning routine, park routine. You know, there's so many things that we have to learn and apply, and it could be overwhelming. So getting those few moments of rest can really, really help to refresh us and give us that second wind to keep going. And so my last question of the evening for you will be, for those with non-supportive family, as you mentioned, people may have family who have narcissistic qualities. What advice can you give to them and how to handle that?
The best suggestion I would say in those situations is take inventory.
Yes.
Think about what is most important. You don't want to necessarily sever ties with your family members, but you might have to kind of establish boundaries and keep them to it. Hold them to those boundaries, because ultimately it's about what's best for you and your child or your children. You can't allow anyone. Yes, allow, that's the key word. You cannot allow anyone to cause you to feel incapable or unworthy. This is your life, your child. I also often tell parents that even when you're at the table with the professionals at the school district or at the doctor's office, you might not have the letters and degrees they have behind you, your name that they do. But this is your child. You are an important member of the team. And so you can't allow anyone to dictate. It's a team effort. And if that person isn't Team Ebony or Team Carly or Team You, if they're not on your team, you have to kind of decide, make a decision, because you don't want anyone pulling you to the left or the right. You have to regain your power, because if you allow them to do this, they're taking power away from you. They're taking energy away from you.
Wow.
You need that to be your best you, to take care of yourself and your children.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for that, Ebony. And how can our audience reach out to you if they are that mom that is struggling and they want to attend your university? How can they get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is soulflowyou.org. All my social media, soul.flow.you. And my email is soulflowyou@gmail.com. But the website has everything. Again, that's soulflowyou.org.
Oh, thank you so much. And to my audience, be sure to reach out to Ebony. If you are dealing with a child with special needs, because she is so truly, truly empowering and delightful and very, very knowledgeable. And so there's her websites once again, soulflowyou.org. And then you can also reach out to her on Instagram, also Soul Flow You. And also check out her book on Amazon. And it finds some insightful advice and some of her personal anecdotes in the book. Thank you all again for joining us tonight for Pink Table Talk, shows produced by Lawin Media Network. Be sure to catch us live each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time and 8 o'clock Eastern Time. On Wednesdays, we talk pink and you can sit with us. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Have a good night. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you.